All right, welcome everyone. Ash is here tonight to share with us. I'm really excited to hear your story. It was nice to meet you in Orlando, and yeah, glad to hear your share. So take all the time you need, and the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you. I'm super stoked to be here. This is not my first Tesnua speaker share, but I am so happy to have a do-over since the first one I did. I was like 9 months sober, and I am 818 days sober. I just checked. Hooray. Did I already say it? I'm Ash and I'm a person in recovery? Well, if I didn't, there it is again. I'm Ash. I'm a person in recovery. I don't know. I feel really excited to be here, honestly. I've done a few Tesnua meetings and then at ICSA, the conference in Orlando, International Conference of Secular Alcoholics Anonymous. I actually got to do an in-person Tesnua meeting. I guess I'll just jump into it. I'm used to doing service and hosting, so I'm having a hard time not going into that mode. I babble. If you don't know me, I babble and sometimes I do hold music. So, disclaimer. All right. So, I was born not too far from where I live now. I never got very far away. I am in Sacramento, California. It's my favorite place, and everybody can say what they want about it, but it's the best part of California. That's not important. I grew up in a pretty normal structured family. I have a brother who's 6 years older than me. My parents stayed together through high school. I didn't want them to. It was rough. Anyway, rewind. My brother was undiagnosed autism and ADHD, same as me. He got the ADHD diagnosis sooner. By like 20 years, but he was a handful. Something was always going on with him. He was lighting fires. He was falling in with the wrong crowd. He broke his arm. It was always, what's he doing? And my dad was always so mad at him. I just heard it in a podcast earlier. My dad. He's a diagnosed narcissist, and a rageaholic. So it was an intense dynamic to grow up in. I was the mediator. My mom was a very emotional, soft, sensitive person. I suspect she is where I got the autism, but she passed in 2019. But she struggled with depression. My earliest memories are of having like sad mom. I used to like go crawl in her bed. That's what I remember, just crawling in my mom's bed and watching TV with her. When I got older, I found out a lot of that time that I remember that way, she was getting off of tranquilizers and I didn't know. I knew she smoked cigarettes and it drove me absolutely crazy. But I had no idea she was on tranquilizers. And my dad wanted her to go to rehab, and she said no. So she walked a lot and she cried a lot, and it was rough. My dad started a business, so, and it did well. He started from the bottom and built it up, cabinets. But it very much allowed him to build his own little world by the time I was old enough to participate in it. We lived on like an acre in a weirdly rural kind of mix. Not rural, but I don't know. It was a lot of land, plenty for him to get methed out or whatever and throw computers around on and scream at us and just top of his lungs. Yelling and throwing things because it was just far enough that nobody else could really hear. And I grew up really spoiled. Actually, I'm trying to get that word out of my vocabulary. I got called spoiled a lot because I was sensitive and I was born into the family I was born into. I escaped with horses. Horses were my thing. I was a horse girl, that really kept me out of trouble until I was a teenager. When I had my first hangover, I did not want to get on a horse at 9 a.m. So that kind of phased out as soon as that kicked in. I was a band nerd too. I was really, really close to that rageaholic dad for a long time. We had a lot in common. And then in high school, he got a DUI, but he didn't tell me. He used to drive me to like a couple things I had every week, and he just stopped and didn't tell me why. He always had excuses. And in my family, there weren't really secrets. My mom told me everything, and there was no filter between anyone. So she told me that he had a DUI and he couldn't drive me because he lost his license. But she didn't tell him that she told me, and it was just like this thing. That really was like the moment I got a little distance from him and started to see at least that piece of my family and the impact it was having. He was an alcoholic. The thing is, even about myself, I don't even want to say alcoholic. We're just addicts. It's like I can't say that any one of us stuck to any one thing for very long. Like maybe 5 years here, 10 years here, 2 years here. My dad did uppers, my mom did downers. I did whatever I could, mostly uppers. But I basically grew up with a role model that was, you take your Ritalin and you take your Xanax. And that is how you even out and cruise through your day. It was rough, just growing up queer in my house too. And my dad was a racist, and he had like signs in the yard against like anything that would further social rights in any shape or form. The irony in that is my quote unquote not girlfriend in high school, her mom became best friends with my mom. And in 2002, my parents decided to be a throuple, which do you, but it wasn't good. Like it wasn't, there was something bleh. Anyway, that ended, and I hate that. One thing I've loved about being in recovery this long, 2 years has been long enough for me to stop wearing this on my sleeve and telling it like a funny story. And so it's kind of weird having not talked about this stuff in a long time. But high school was hard. I didn't have friends growing up, really. I had like serious imposter syndrome that I could make my own friends, and like even now. I could always trail back who introduced me and like why we had to can't hang out. Like my best friend was my uncle's girlfriend's daughter, who was at my third birthday, and she now lives 10 minutes from me in the same neighborhood. But like all my friends were just kind of like forced or like hand-me-downs or whatever. And I was the kid who got hung out with after school, but at recess, I can give you all their names. All the girls who wanted to hang out with me and then at school would not have anything to do with a girl who drew horses by the tree by herself. That was super isolating. This is all stuff I've only like really come to terms with recently because I have my social life has improved greatly. But I was a really, really, really lonely kid. I came off as shy because I hadn't learned to mask yet. I came off as a spoiled brat often. It was like I had the whole bully thing. I had glue on my chair when I first moved to the school. There was a sleepover where I was so anxious because I'm a homebody and I don't think I ever slept through a sleepover when I was a kid without throwing up or calling my mom. I was still awake pretending to sleep, and they poured water on the crotch of my pajama pants to wake me up and tell me that I peed my pants. Anyway, really confusing, really fucking confusing when you don't know how to read between lines and you take people at their word and you think literally. And that did kind of make me wind up being sort of a bully later, just because I knew how to be aggressive in my house as far as telling, like, making sure people, I don't know, I was just the mediator. I didn't drink, have a drink until I was 16, and I remember it was July 3rd, the summer before my senior year, and I had two light beers. And all of a sudden, at this party that I didn't really get invited to, my friend had a crush on the guy who lived there and got him. Anyway, it was walking distance from my house, and I was telling my jokes to older guys, to people, to cool people, high school. Like, I was charming. And I was like, oh, this is good. Walked home, felt great the next day. I was like, look at me, I'm nothing like my family. Ha ha ha. And I handled my alcohol so well, no hangover. The next day was July 4th. I had nine screwdrivers. I drank nine screwdrivers. And that night was probably the first time alcohol put me in the super dangerous position. My first kiss was basically a guy at that party who was HIV positive. And honestly, it's all really blurry and like intense, but like I found out later because of friends overhearing things, and like I was in a really bad position, and I got very lucky that a friend came and picked me up. If this tells you about my parents and how much they cared, that night I called and I was so drunk that I told them I was staying at my crush's house, a boy's house. And my mom was like, okay. And I was like, cool. They knew I wasn't there. They like helped me take care of the hangover the next day. I only binge drank once in a while. I was way more into weed. Every time I drank, I threw up. Like I got into drinking 151 because I could drink it and I would be able to get drunk before I threw up. It was really bad. And so I was the DD. I was the like, I'm never going to drink person. I would try, but it was just so bad. And then I decided I would be a bartender because that'd be smart, right? I don't drink really. And then it turned out I liked drinking. I did like a keg stand and my life changed. And everyone, I saw my friend had a sit down with me at the party I did my first keg stand at. And he told me, as everyone left, that in a very polite way, that I'm much more likable and people want to be my friend when I'm not sober, when I'm drunk or when I'm high. And that I should, you know, think about whatever that means. But like, and I was like, okay, there it is. I just got the advice. That's what I'm gonna do. And I carried that until the first 3 months of being sober this time around. And I'm way fucking cooler now. Anyway, yeah, high school, I don't know. I didn't do homework, but I was smart and I tested well, and I could have gone to a few schools, but I had a boyfriend who was a year younger. So I went to the community college. And now I have like 80 units in like art mostly. And anyway, at that point, I started binge drinking. I was getting invited to parties. That wasteland between 18 and 21 when you can't legally drink, and somehow my world was just like opened up to all the drugs. I loved mixing drugs. I had a playlist that I had to listen to on every drug to see how it felt. I was still living off my parents' like allowances, whatever. They were, I don't know, I'm not gonna get into that, but I was still, they were paying for my place, they were paying for my rock and roll lifestyle. So I would buy a bunch of drugs. Some of my friends would do them. Or I'd buy a bunch of drugs and concert tickets so we could all go together. There was a night I called the night of eight drugs. One of them was Ambien, so I don't even remember all of it. But that ended in sexual assault. There's been four to five of, there's more than that, but there's four bad ones, including the way that I lost my virginity was I was too drunk. I'm autistic. I didn't know what was happening and what I was agreeing to, and it was not great. It was really lonely after that too, because that specific event, the girl I was in love with was passed out next to us and told everybody at my high school what happened as if it was my choice. And for the next 6 months, I got hazed with voicemails calling me a, for some reason, Republican slut. I don't know why they threw a political thing in there. Anyway, it was, people would do things like try this, and then they get to me and they'd be like, no, I know where you've been. So that was really fun. Damn, see, I apologize. I have done speaker shares before and I never really dug into like a lot of this stuff. I was like, I'll touch on it. And turns out there's a well of stuff that might have helped me springboard into my 20s and my blossoming alcoholism, because that was the heyday. I wound up meeting a guy. I'm still with him. 14 years. We hit 15 in June. 15 years. I was 23. And when I met him, and like I said, I was an addict. Anything, just I'll do this. Coke was my thing for like 9 months. I don't know. I had an ecstasy thing. But I started dating my partner now, and he was like very against a lot of drugs. Well, I wouldn't even say that. He had an ex who had a drug problem. So there was a lot of things that were sort of like off the table up front. And I was like, that's fine. You like to drink. And he's like, I love to drink. And I was like, let's drink for the next 13 years together. So I gave up the rest of the drugs and became the person I am today who still can't figure out how to feed themselves because there's a lot of calories and carbs. If you drink 10 to 18 light beers a day. And that is how I sustain myself. At one, I have yo-yoed weight a lot, a lot, a lot. And when I first started dating my partner, I gained what I called happy weight, which was from whiskey and beer and eating at home. But I lost 80 pounds because there was a weight loss competition. I'm kind of competitive. But the way I did that was by staying on the elliptical to the exact amount of calories I needed so I could have the exact amount of beers that I would want later, you know, and the ones before. So that was, I was very proud of that math numbers. That would be also an orthorexia stage of my life. I have dabbled in eating disorders for periods of my life. Yeah, so my 20s, I ran a business, a small business with a business partner. And it was a fairly fucking successful family. I'm sorry, I have been swearing up a storm. Anyway, wedding and photography company. And I've been a professional photographer for 20 years at this point. It's all I've ever done. And we started a business that allowed us to like live the life that we wanted, to be home and to go to all the weddings and all the parties. And because I worked at so many weddings, when I got to attend or be in a wedding and there was an open bar, I made the fuck up for it, like hard. I went to dozens of weddings in my 20s, and very few of them did not end with me not necessarily remembering what happened and having to apologize and losing friendships and relationships. And honestly, I just, weddings, open bar. Anyway, lots of heavy relationship talks I wanted to have. Really tried my damnedest to ruin that one. So business is doing well, blah blah blah. My partner's mom gets diagnosed with breast cancer. Our world kind of rocks. Oh, in the middle, we got a house. We got a house. But that's messy, and I won't even get into that. But yeah. Sorry, I dropped my point. I'm trying to pick it back up. We got a house. Oh, the house. Yeah, the house, my mom, it was my mom's house, and then I got it from her, and that's when we found out his mom had breast cancer. 6 months later, we found out that my mom, who had just moved out, had a 4-inch tumor in her lungs in an inoperable location. That was on her birthday in 2019. We moved her in the next day. And she lived here when she wasn't in the hospital for 5 months to the day she died. I was completely enmeshed with my mom. She was my best friend. I was her best friend. I knew all the secrets about my dad because she told them to me. I was her friend. I took care of her. I never moved out of the area because I couldn't leave her alone. There were three suicide attempts of hers. I was the point person on all of those. One, I was really, really young, and my dad just got mad and left her when she had taken a bunch of pills. So I just curled up in bed. And then there was right after high school when my dad called me and told me my mom was being crazy. This is when they both had a girlfriend. And he and his girlfriend had thrown away all of her medications, and she was on a lot. Anyway, I watched my mom run barefoot around my neighborhood from the cops because they wanted to do a 5150 on her. Anyway, there's a few more times, and I'm always the person who had to like count the pill casings or take her to the hospital or like help her set up her therapy and make sure she goes and drive her absolutely everywhere and introduce her to friends and find her activity. I did not live for myself until the last 2 to 3 years. And she died in 2019. I did not know what I wanted or who I was because my whole life was about making sure she didn't kill herself. When she got sick and all she wanted to do was live, and she was like, yeah, I'm gonna get healthy. I wanna live. I'm gonna do this. And I quit smoking. I was actually very resentful. My darkest moment, well, when she moved in, One of the clearest things I can still hear her saying is she knew that we drank, but she didn't know how much. I had to take her to radiation 5 days a week and chemo once a week, and I would get up every day so hungover, cry in the shower for like 35 minutes, then get up and drive her hungover. What I will call my rock bottom was one of those nights towards the end. She was on blood thinners and she was on a fuck ton of medications that they timed really badly and they didn't figure it out. But she was super zonked out. Like they put all of her heavy stuff at night. And she woke up and tried to get out of bed and she hit her head and fell and she was yelling, trying to yell and call, and she was confused. And there's a lot of other parts of the story that I respect my mom and I'm not going to share. But it took me like 45 minutes to wake up and take her to the hospital because she was on blood thinners and she hit her head and she had stage 4 lung cancer. Yeah, that destroyed me. How sudden it was, and then after. And then nobody cares if you drink when you're grieving that hard. Everyone just kind of like understands. And this is a situation that I had not prepared myself for. I had been thinking was going to happen. I knew it was going to be bad when it happened. I was that close to my mom. I just got 18 pack a day. I started, at first it was with my partner, and then it was when my partner was at work. And then it was, I would get a 30 rack and then I drink too many of them. So I go like refill it while he was at work, or I would open my cans in the laundry baskets so that they wouldn't be loud and wake him up because he had to get up for work. And I was unemployed because the business slowed down. And COVID hit 6 months after my mom died, and my business was primarily large weddings. And I say COVID killed my business, but it did not. My business is what alcohol. I destroyed my life with alcohol. I didn't fight for it whatsoever. We just kind of let it go. My business partner wanted to have kids, and I just thought I didn't want to be around weddings or families, and alcohol was. It was better to just not. It was just better to be home and drink all the time. It got to the point where the last few weddings we shot, I had to drink a beer in the morning. I had to drink a beer in the bathroom because I was terrified I was going to have a seizure. Whether or not I was, I don't know. I had auditory hallucinations each time, getting worse that I quit drinking, and I'm not planning to do it again. But my health anxiety told me that. Undoubtedly, 1000%, I would have a seizure if I didn't. So I maintained intentionally that kind of alcohol in my system while on medications that are like, don't drink on this, don't quit drinking without telling anyone on this. I was staying up all night for no damn good reason. I was lying about my medications because I have ADHD. I do well on very, 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 very like children's doses of like all kinds of medications. And this is one case, but I let my doctor think that I needed higher and higher and higher and higher. And I was the person hopping from pharmacy to pharmacy and running out early. And the thing is, when you are taking stimulants, you think you can drink way more. You can at least stay awake longer, right? So you're going to drink more there. And that's just what I do. And then I'd wake up in the morning and feel like shit. And I'd take a cold shower, cry to some Adele on the floor in that shower, and then take like a week's worth of uppers and carry on. Michelada for breakfast. But like my life was really, I didn't have a lot of responsibilities. I got unemployment during COVID. I don't have any kids. I have two dogs. I have a partner. Just, I didn't have much to fuck up. I really didn't. Nobody, in my past, there were a few people who suggested that I might have a drinking problem and like maybe you should think about it. I was like, maybe I should. And I tried a few times before this stuck, but I was just so fucking disappointed in myself. That was what did it. I had 68 days once, I had 72 days once. And that was long enough to like get a breath of air and see that my anxiety did get quieter when I wasn't drinking. That my health anxiety, it wasn't me thinking, how many which cancers do I have? If it quieted down to like, oh, I'm probably only dying of this one. I knew how it felt and how it could be, and that it wasn't easy. And each time I was just like, I'll go a little longer. I deserve it. I deserve it. And then this last time, my cat died. My like ride or die Bubba. He was a sphinx. His name was Blanket. He's the best. And he was 16. So that's pretty good for a sphinx. It's almost how anticlimactic it was. I dealt with that. I dealt with my partner's mom wound up getting two more aggressive cancers and not seeking treatment until it was too late. She only passed away a year or two ago. But my cat died. I was tore up, bawling, but still I was just like, I'm gonna go get my beer, told the liquor store guy what happened, went home, drank. And it just a few days of that, I don't know, I stayed up one night after paying off a credit card and I had a Switch and I wanted to get a game on it. And I wanted to get a game I could play with my friends, so I got Super Smash Brothers. Turns out I didn't know my system that well, and I needed to buy storage. So I filled my credit card right back up. I got drunk, filled up my credit card, and then I was like, well, I'm gonna get all this other stuff too. I was just exhausted with myself. I was so exhausted with how convinced by the actual evidence of how much I existed in my life, that if I just wasn't around anymore, it'd probably be okay. Suicidal ideation was constant. I wake up every morning, just hating myself and having all kinds of unintrusive thoughts. So I got disappointed enough in myself that I quit drinking on August 23rd, 2022. And it stuck. And about a month after that, I tried AA like twice. The thing is, there was this women's group I kept trying to go to, and as soon as they found out my mom was dead, and I'm not like big on hugs or physical contact, and they just all wanted to like mother and love me, which I love over Zoom. It's wonderful over Zoom, but I can't do it in person. But my partner got a job that is Sunday through Tuesday and every other Wednesday, 2.5 hours away. So they are out of town. I probably shouldn't have told a bunch of strangers that schedule, whatever. Now we're going to change it. Just kidding. That's not it. Okay. Sorry. Hey, that was the first time I slipped and babbled and got weird. Anyway, so I knew that I'm a chatty person, if you can't tell. I like people. I like talking to people, and I'm an extrovert. And once he got that job and was gone half of the week, after 2 weeks, I got COVID and I couldn't see anybody or do anything. And he just got this new jobs and he was staying with a teacher out there. So he would just pop in and out to like help with things. And it was a heat wave. And I was like, whatever, there's gotta be something online. And I did a speed dating round with a whole bunch of different online meetings. It was like, I felt like the Goldilocks, the bed, the comfy. Anyway. I found my right fits, and I found a place where I got to be me and unmask and untangle myself from my family and my assumed story. And I got to be this version of me, which is in fact still terrified of some stuff that's coming up because my consequences, they just come way later and they've been coming. But I like waking up. I like sleeping. I like going to bed. I like not passing out. I like driving my car at night with the radio up and the windows down. I like driving past a cop and only sweating a little bit because I'm never gonna not. I like that I was scared to do karaoke, not sober. Or, yeah, I was a karaoke barfly. That's where I went twice a week. Twice a week till 3 a.m. I knew the KJ, karaoke jockey, and all the bartenders, and I never had a tab. And I've been in a cappella groups and choirs my whole life, a musician and whatnots, but wouldn't you fucking know it? I got sober and it got better. I got better at things. I got better at my art. My art got better. My writing got more coherent. My voice is way more decent. I'm not going to go that hard and brag about anything. But what I do know is when I go to karaoke with my friends, they start off amazing. And then I just stay good. And they maybe don't. And that's why I'm sober, is because I'm better at karaoke. That's how I'm gonna wrap it up because I just looked at the clock. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me. I am really grateful for this and I appreciate the space. Also, my dog's going off. Don't know if you can hear it, but this is good timing. Okay, thank you.